Commitment, a fast-fading part of modern marriage, where irreconcilable differences mean divorce is around the corner. While there were differences between Wanda and Gustav Lutzer, they were never irreconcilable. Their marriage lasted 76 years when Gustav passed away at age 106. On today's broadcast, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, their fifth child, will tell of their commitment. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his four-part series on Till Death Do Us Part, Keys to Success in Marriage. He comes now to talk about how his parents' commitment to God extended to the lives of each child.
We did not leave for school in the morning. We did not leave the house in the morning, but that we all spend time reading a passage of Scripture. I mean, one person would read a passage of Scripture, and then we would all get on our knees, and we all had to pray. Sometimes as children, we only prayed the Lord's Prayer together. Sometimes we prayed individually. But the day never began without prayer, from the reading the German Bible and then praying on our knees. That was very important as we as children grew up. So we knew that God was just a part of everything. My parents demonstrated it in their lives. It was in the early 50s that we had a hailstorm, and in those days my father did not have hail insurance. If you've ever been on the farm and you've been in hail, you know that the window panes in the house can break very easily. So we took pillows and held them against the window panes so that when the hail hit, it wouldn't break the pane. And it became very clear that in about 15 or 20 minutes, the entire crop was gone. The farm wasn't paid for. There was a lot of debt. My parents were poor, making the best they could with what they had. And I remember, sorry if I'm going to lose it here, they gathered us together and they asked us to get on our knees to give thanks to God for His goodness, for the fact that we had clothes and a roof over our head. And we knew that God was number one in their lives. They really believed that serving God was all that there was. I don't want to give the impression that my parents were perfect. I'll tell you this very candidly. My father, for a long period of time, suffered with what we later learned were anxiety attacks. And he always thought that he was dying. Now, some of this is because of his background, which contains some abuse that I will not go into, and also the responsibility of taking care of his family. And we always thought that Dad was dying. In fact, one time he called us all together. He brought my brother in from the field, and all five of us were there to say goodbye to us, said that he would meet us in heaven, told us to take care of Mother, and that we shouldn't fight among ourselves. I don't know why he said that. I mean, the Lutzers wouldn't fight among themselves. I was about 10 years old, and we were all crying. I always say to people who have anxiety attacks, my father's left him when he was about 55 or 60, and he's lived to 105, so be patient, you might get over yours too, all right? Under service to God, my parents were very generous. I didn't learn this until my sister told me, who fills out their income tax. Now I don't think they fill any out because they don't get enough. They just get the pension. But I was astounded at how they give. They were giving more than 50% of their pension income to missionaries, to the poor, to the church. And I tell you, more than 50%. They used what they needed to eat, to buy clothes if they thought they needed them, and the rest they gave away. You know what? When they die, we're not going to have anything to fight over, let me tell you that, all right? And I think that's a good idea, don't you? No clapping there, huh? By the way, you know, those of you whom God has blessed financially, you should ask yourself this question: how much do I need? And you can be very generous with that amount. How much do you need? How much do you want to pass on to your children? What would be rational? And then think of creative ways to give the rest away. And if you need some ideas, I'll be up here after the service to give it. Give it to the kingdom. Give it to the kingdom. Make it a transforming experience. To be able to say, not that I leave it all to the children who are going to argue over it and fight over it and squander it, but to say, what can I give to God that will last forever? So number four, they were committed to God, to love the Lord their God with all their heart and with all their mind. Fifth, they had the understanding, a basic understanding for the need of personal conversion. I told you that my mother was baptized Lutheran when she came from the Ukraine, but wasn't born again and began to seek. How can she understand the gospel? She attended this little church where the gospel was preached. They were having special meetings, and about the third night she went forward and was so radically transformed, she said it was as if the Holy of Holies had just come upon her. She found finally what she looked for. And their prayers for us always were about many things, but I remember them clearly praying over and over again, almost every day in those devotion times. They would pray that when they would get to heaven, that all five of their children would be there, and we were prayed for by name. Wow. At their 70th anniversary, I said to Mother, Mother, do you know the names of all of your great-grandchildren? I think there were 31 great-grandchildren at the time. There are some more now, because I didn't know who all these kids belonged to. I said, do you know all of your 31 great-grandchildren? And she just waved her hand like this, and she said, oh. She said, of course. She said, I have a prayer list, and I mention every one of them to our Heavenly Father every day. I say this to you in sincerity. I believe that one of the reasons God has kept my parents alive for as long as they have is because He knows their children, particularly the last one, needs their prayers to the very end, to the very end. Grandparents, and I'm one, I'm a grandfather. What we need to do is to intercede for our grandchildren. The temptations and the world is so horrid out there. May we remember them in prayer. Regularly. You say, well, have you been personally converted, by the way? My parents struggled with the issue of assurance of salvation because they were brought up in a teaching that wasn't quite as comfortable as some of ours sometimes is. They struggled with the notion as to whether or not someone could fall away from the faith, and they believed that one could. Therefore, they were preoccupied with themselves and with us to make sure that every one of their children accepted Jesus Christ personally. Look at my life. Now, I'm 14 years old. I'm on the farm. I haven't had much chance to do a lot of things that I guess I would have liked to have done if I had lived in the city or somewhere. And I find within me this great sense of conviction of sin. And I just can hardly function because all that I can think about is, am I born again? At night I would pray as a child and say, I accept Jesus as my Savior over and over again, but it didn't take. It was as if it just wasn't there. And I was expecting this special experience and it wasn't happening, and there I am. And they sensed it, and they said, you know, we think it's time that you accepted Christ as Savior. I was about 14. And I remember saying to them, I said, you know, I've tried to, but it doesn't seem to work for me. And they said, look, you have to receive Christ by faith. He died for you. He died for sinners. You need to receive Him by faith, even if you don't feel differently. So they took us into the living room. They took me into the living room. I was home alone with them at that time. And we knelt at a chair, and I received Christ as my Savior there. And immediately, even the next day, I knew that I had been born again. I had come to know God. By the way, last summer I made a rather sentimental journey. I went back to the old farmhouse, went into the living room, and knelt at the very place where I had received Christ as Savior 50 years ago to thank God for saving my soul. So my question to you is, are you born again by faith? You've received Christ as your Savior, and you know it because it's real in your heart. Join me as we pray. Our Father, I want to pray today for all the couples that are here, for the ones that are going through terrible experiences, for the ones who do not have happy homes. I pray for the divorced people. Help them to realize that God is the God of the second chance, that there is forgiveness and there is hope and there is cleansing. I pray for those who are not yet married. I pray that you might keep them from unwise decisions. And I pray, Father, that in your grace, that those who have not received Christ as Savior may do it even now. Say, I've not been born again. I receive him as my Savior personally, right now, by faith. I'm going to pause for a moment. You talk to God right now and say to him whatever you need to say. Father, I'm sure that this message means different things to different people. To some it means that they need to be born again. To others it means that they need to have a long talk with their spouse. For some it means that they have to clean up their past by faith. They need help. For some it is a word of caution. Whatever it is, Father, make it transforming. And may this message ring in their ears this afternoon, tomorrow, and all next week and into the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, my friend, today I'm so glad that you joined us for this particular message. I usually am not quite this personal in my preaching, but I had to tell you the story of my remarkable parents who lived together for 77 years, serving God as best they knew how, teaching themselves to read, teaching us as children to walk with God. One of the things that they wanted to instill in us is a fear of the Lord, which today, of course, is lost because we live in an age in which people think it is safe to sin. But I thank God for my parents because, despite some of their limitations, they certainly pointed us in the right direction. And I need to ask you a question today. Are you walking with God? And even as I shared in the message about my relationship with Christ, coming to know him as Savior, have you received Christ as Savior? Do you have the assurance that you also know God and have been born again? That assurance comes through faith, not in yourself or in your goodness, but in God's goodness, in supplying all that we need in Jesus Christ. Receive him today and let us know about it. God bless you.
Today, Dr. Erwin Lutzer wrapped up Building a Lasting Marriage, the first of four messages on Till Death Do Us Part, Keys to Success in Marriage. Monday, a look at the real meaning of commitment. Don't miss, those vows mean something. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Our series on Till Death Do Us Part can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Don't miss our next Running to Win.